And I think Helen should be up here this morning telling us about sowing seeds and raising seeds, because she is the main sower of seed in our place. So we have read that again Jesus taught the large crowd that had assembled by the lake. And he taught them many things by parables. And some wise person once said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In Mark, we've already seen that Jesus told the parable of the house divided. This time, Jesus tells the crowd that had gathered to hear him the parable of the sower, the seed and the soil. But did they understand? Father, we pray this morning that we may come to understand what this parable means for us. Be with us, Lord, and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can picture the farmer scattering the seed joyfully, anticipating the harvest that was to come. Maybe farmers just have an easy life. One day they sow the seed, then they just wait around, and then at the appropriate time another day they spent harvesting the seed. Maybe some farmers here would disagree with that. But no modern equipment for this farmer, no GPS-controlled tractor. He simply scattered the seed by hand. And some seed fell on the path, some on the rocky soil, some fell among the thorns, and no crop resulted. As some seed was eaten by birds, others were scorched by the sun just after they started to grow, while others were choked by thorns as they were growing. I don't think this farmer was too concerned about the loss, as other seed fell on good soil and produced a great crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And this week I asked Google how much grain you get from one grain that's sown into the soil, and Google, in his wisdom, said about 100. And so many people listening to Jesus could identify with this farmer. They are all too familiar with this activity. But what was this heavenly meaning of this story that was all too familiar? And Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And people checked, yes, got ears, but do they really hear? What was Jesus struggling to teach them? Who was listening? But the 12 disciples and others around Jesus were puzzled after listening to the story. They probably said, "Well, so what? What's this story all about? We know it all." But they, in their wisdom, asked Jesus to explain. And so Jesus gave them an explanation. And I'm pleased, and we are pleased, that the disciples asked, because we have Jesus' explanation of this story. I wonder, when we are puzzled by some spiritual matter, do we ask Jesus to make his word clear to us? So Jesus just mentioned several things at the start. What the farmer is sowing is the word of God. And the people who receive the word are like the seed that is scattered in the different places, along the path, on the rocky soil, amongst the thorns, or on the good soil. And once we realize this, then the meaning of the parable may leap out at us. Firstly, let's consider the sower of the seed. And the seed that is sown is the word of God. Initially, it was Jesus who was teaching the word of God. And just some verses from Mark's gospel. Jesus went out into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues. But not everyone accepted his word. Opposition was building. The teachers of the law opposed him. The Pharisees began to plot how they might kill him. But Jesus, knowing that his time on earth was limited and that he was going to die, called 12 men to follow him. And we've heard about this already. And they were to be sent out by Jesus to preach the word, to sow the seed, or as it says in Mark 1:17, to be made fishers of men. It's not until Mark chapter 6, verse 6, that we read of them being sent out to teach. Would their message be accepted, or would some reject their message? I think that in this parable, Jesus is teaching that in various ways, people may reject the word of God. But those who go out sowing the seed, telling people of the word of God, are to rejoice with those who accept the word of God, as the farmer rejoiced in the seed that was sown in good soil and produced a wonderful crop. And what about us today? Do we tell others of the good news, anticipating that even though there may be some rejection, others will accept the word of God and be fruitful? And what is the fruit that they produce? Well, the fruit that is produced is more and more people coming to put their trust in Jesus. Maybe one seed that bears fruit goes on to produce results in 30, 60 or even 100 more. Jesus' disciples came to see this happen, and we see that particularly in the book of Acts. Now, I don't know if you noticed that in Jesus' explanation, everyone hears the word, whether the seed falls on the path, on the rocky soil, or among the thorns, or on the good soil. Everyone receives the word. But what then happens? Some people are like the seed sown along the path. As soon as they hear the word, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And how sad. And maybe we know of people who have rejected the word of God, and they may say, I have my truth, or I'm not interested. Helen and I have good friends who, on hearing that we are Christians, told us not to talk to them about Jesus. But we often see them and enjoy their company. But we long for that time when God will give us an opportunity to clearly present the word of God to them. Let's not be discouraged by such a reaction. Let's be faithful and keep on spreading the glorious word. And some people are like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But they have not developed a root, and they last only a short time. And Jesus said, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And we may ask, why does this happen? And today is Palm Sunday, a day when we remember that as Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, the people shouted, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I wonder how many of these people shouted a few days later, crucify him, crucify Jesus. I have a book here, probably none of you have read. It's called Let the Fire Burn. It's a book about revival in the Gulf province of Papua New Guinea. When I was reading this book many years ago, I noticed the name of one of my laboratory technicians there, and I asked him how the revival was going. But he sadly said that people had fallen away because they were not taught the Bible. They were just caught up in the excitement of that time, of miracles that were happening. We need to have a good foundation in the scripture, like Sarah's doing, reading the Bible. So, yeah, and the Bible speaks to us. Do we know of people who are excited to hear the truth of God's word, but when family members or friends ridicule them for what they've come to believe, they fall away? Do we get alongside people who are new in their faith and take time to teach them God's word and encourage them in their new life? Some people are like seed sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the worries and cares of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things to come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. We are living in a world which offers many temptations. Even Christians are exposed to temptations. Remember, we are in a spiritual battle. As Peter says, be controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. And he was writing to believers. We must stand firm in the truth of God's word. Are we encouraging other Christians to seek God's will for their lives in a world where there are so many thorns? So what then is the secret to being fruitful? Jesus simply said, others, like seed sown on good soil, firstly, they hear the word. Secondly, they accept it. And thirdly, they produce a crop. Sounds simple, but is it? We need to stand firm on the truth of Scripture. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus also said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Paul states that in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Now think of two giant Chinese girls we met in Papua New Guinea, Tao Zhang and Tao Wei. You don't know them. I don't know what's happened to them. But one day they came to Helen and I and expressed their desire to know what the Bible says and would we help them. And it was a joy to spend time with them. And they didn't want the sessions to end. They wanted to know what God did next. Such a hunger. And one of them said, well, my aim is to go back to China and to write Bible stories for children. And she said, it could be difficult. My husband's a member of the Communist Party. Are we that enthusiastic about reading the Bible? The writer of Psalm 119 states, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your word. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Everyone heard the parable, the story that Jesus told, but only a few asked Jesus to help them see the deeper truth. And the Bible says we may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. We need to get our thinking beyond the simple story, but understanding this spiritual application. May we perceive and understand so that we and others might turn to God and be forgiven. So let us hear the word of God, accept it, and produce a marvellous crop. During our life, we may come across modern-day parables. I think parables are still being spoken. And we see things around us and we think, oh, that's telling us about Jesus or telling us something about God. During my time at Mildura Baptist College, I was asked to speak at school assemblies. As a science teacher, I would illustrate a principle from Scripture using a science demonstration. It was my privilege to do this most weeks for about 6 months. Okay, one demonstration. I have here a balloon. I could blow the balloon up. Hoping it don't collapse. Now I could say, I want this balloon to go from my hand to hit that wall. But it seemed to have a mind of its own. But then I could take that same balloon, blow it up again, and put on there, attach a piece of straw, and through that straw thread a string that goes from one wall to the other, let it go, and it would be getting to that wall. And maybe you can think of an application to that regarding the spiritual life. I won't bother to tell you now. During one science class at Mildura Baptist College, I invited students to mix food dyes, colours. It'd be good if this was flat. So I have a jug of water. I have some colours. I asked them what they wanted to mix to make life or the water more colourful. So could add some blue. All right. So that's nice, isn't it? And then somebody said, oh, let's add some yellow. So it's getting more colourful with the blue and the green, the yellow. Blue and yellow makes green. And then somebody said, well, let's add some red. Oh. Well, let's add some red. Okay, bring out the reserve supply. So, give it a stir. Well, I don't know, that's not looking so bright now, not looking so attractive. And that can be. And then I said to the students, well, I could add some activated charcoal, but I don't have any activated charcoal here. And when I did and stirred it, the water changed back to colourless again. And you think, well, so what? And it was because the charcoal was absorbing all the colour that had been added and making it pure again. And then somebody said, One of the students said, well, that's a bit like Jesus. And I was so thrilled. They said, well, Jesus came to give his life for us so that we, messed up by all the things the world has to offer and all the bad things, and our life can be so miserable and can be made pure, can be cleansed by Jesus. And you know, I thought of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And sometimes like that, there can be meaningful things that happen throughout life. But sometimes we miss opportunities. I remember, to my shame, when I was a university student, the banners were displayed around the university advertising the coming evangelistic meetings. And it said on those banners, what think ye of Jesus? These days we would say, what do you think of Jesus? And friends I was walking with asked me what I thought of Jesus. But I was too embarrassed to answer. And I pretended I hadn't heard their question. Sometimes we miss opportunities. These days, I think I would be more prepared to answer. And how can the Strathalbyn Church of Christ sow the seed, which is the Word of God, into the community? Well, we've heard from Sarah that it was through a dream. But we can't have dreams for people. But there are ways that we can do this. I think back to the time when Helen and I were younger, much younger than we are today, at Seton Baptist Church. And we were in the youth group, and youth group, with the support of the minister, started a coffee shop for young people to come in and enjoy instant coffee, if that was possible, and hear the gospel. And while in Papua New Guinea, the Christian students were keen to sing and give testimonies at outreaches in Lae and Kainantu. Maybe such activities wouldn't work here, but we can pray. We can ask God, well, how can people in Strathalbyn hear the Word of God? At times, Helen and I have gone down to the nearby skate park, not to skate, but we've had opportunities to talk to people in need there and give literature to some of the young people. And I know that many people here are taking the opportunities to sow the Word of God in Strathalbyn. But there are so many who have not yet heard the Word, and so many people are moving into the area. And we are like seed, the seed that was sown on good soil. We have heard the Word, we have accepted it, but have we produced a crop 30, 60 or even 100 times? Let's encourage each other and consider or listen to God. How does God want to use us so that we might be fruitful in this place? Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you told the parables, and that you explained parables, and people came to see who you were, who you are. Thank you that you have risen and that you are alive today. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunities that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.